What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal, and may lose value.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Welcome to Stuff from the Science Lab from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey guys, and welcome to the podcast. This is Allison Loudermilk, the science editor at HowStuffWorks.com.
And this is Robert Lamb, science writer at HowStuffWorks.com.
In this episode, we finally took Stuff from the Science Lab on the road, although not very far down the road.
Yeah, not too bad.
To the Georgia Dome for the first championship, held April 15th through April 17th. And we got up close and personal with 550 robots and their young masters.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Just to, I guess, set the scene for everybody. Again, this is the Georgia Dome. This is where they play football, hockey.
Football. Lots of football.
Yeah.
Do you like how I said that? That's kind of with a southern accent. Football.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so. Yeah, this is the first time, both of us went to it last year to cover it for the blogs. So this was the first time that I've been back to the Georgia Dome. I'm just not a sports guy. So you have this big, sports auditorium type deal, right? And it's just loaded with nerds. And I mean that in the most complimentary fashion possible. Like, these are just awesome nerdiness going on in this building. And of course, chaperones, adult volunteers, then kids dressed up as their mascots. It's amazing.
Yeah, there are a lot of Mohawks going on. I'm a big fan of the Mohawks, so that's always nice to see some Mohawks in it.
And they're pumping music, like all sorts of like high energy, kind of beats going on. And I looks like everybody was on some sort of sugar, just in a lot of audio visual stuff. Like, there's something with, like, when we first got there, The Rock was on this big screen talking about NASA.
I didn't know what that was about. So while we were at the FIRST Championship, we actually took the opportunity to interview the president of FIRST, a gentleman named President Paul Gudonis. Let's let Paul explain what FIRST is for those of you guys not familiar with it.
Well, FIRST stands for Inspiration and Recognition of Science and Technology. It's the world's largest robotics competition for grade school and high school students. It was started about 20 years ago by inventor Dean Kamen.
Right.
Dean invented the Segway. He recently a robotic prosthetic arm. He has 400 patents for a lot of medical devices. And he got this started with 28 high school teams mentored by some local companies about 20 years ago. And this year, we have 19,000 teams from grade school through high school around the world participating in our robotics competitions.
Like Paul said, high school teams have traveled from all around the world to compete in the championships this weekend. Did you hear him talking about that one team from the Middle East? I think it was a combination Israeli, like Palestinian collaboration or something to that effect.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. So you can see all these teams clad in their team shirts and their get-ups, and there's an award for imagery, I think. So that kind of explains some of the crazy costumes.
And then there was like one team that was just a bunch of robots, and they had a human child that they were forcing to compete in the event. No, not really.
Yeah, and everybody's wheeling their robots and trolleys to and from. It's pretty cool.
Well, hey, let's hear from some of the many teams that were competing.
We're team 1379, the Gear Devils from Norcross, Georgia. And right now we're working on fixing our kicker.
Oh, we've been competing for like about 8 years, and we come to the Georgia Dome pretty much every other year.
Yeah, they had that awesome mascot, the Blue Devil. I think we'll get a shot of him on the blog if we can.
Yeah, which one is the Blue Devil?
He's the devil who's blue.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Let's hear from another team.
Lunar Narwhals!
So we are from San Diego, California. We're a rookie team from Canyon Crest Academy High School.
Yeah, I love these guys, the aluminum narwhals. And they had the narwhal helmets on, like these helmets with these big, it's not a tusk, is it? What do narwhals have? I guess it's a tusk. Unicorn horn type deal coming out of their heads. And, you know, they were awesome.
Yeah, they were a little bit too cool for school initially, remember? We had to
chase them, yeah.
Yeah, and then they finally rallied together and shouted their team name into the microphone at the end.
Yeah, and they had to get a little organized. Some of the other teams were a little faster on the rally. So yeah, the vibe at first, I touched on this earlier, but it's just awesome because these kids are running around and just enthusiastic about science and about robotics. The parents and the volunteers, the chaperones, everybody's just like really gung ho. And the nerdiness is like right out in the open, like just unabashed nerdiness and geekiness and just a love of science. And it's just, you know, it's in the air. It's infectious, really. I mean, you want to go home and hug your Roomba and give it a little games to play in the living room.
Do you have a Roomba, by the way?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, and with that vibe, you kind of get excited about the future of robotics here in the United States and globally, right?
Yeah, because that's what it's all about.
Yeah, so here's First President Paul Gudonis again talking about how some of the high schoolers involved in FIRST fare later in life.
For example, they're 50% more likely to go on to college after they graduate high school. We have $12 million of scholarships open to them to enable them to go on to college, and they're 3 to 4 times as likely to study engineering or science than their peers who weren't on a team. And it's not a different group of students.
Right.
They just had the exposure of being on a FIRST team, and we've got 90,000 wonderful volunteers, often professional engineers from companies like Cisco and Google and Boeing and IBM and so on.
And NASA, who
inspire these kids.
The U.S., of course, has had a lot of problems getting kids interested in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And now we collectively know these areas of interest as STEM, right? And the U.S. has launched initiatives like the STEM Education Coalition, which is co-chaired by folks such as the American Chemical Society and the National Science Teachers Association to change that scenario. So here's Paul talking about why he thinks the U.S. has been struggling with the issue.
Well, things have changed since when I was growing up in the 60s. It was the space race. It felt like a patriotic duty to study math and science to get to the moon first. But today, our media tells young people that the way to fame and fortune is to bounce a ball or try to sing your way onto a Hollywood stage instead of using your brain to do something useful for our society. And so that's what we're trying to show, that it's cool to be smart.
So I'm pretty sure that my high school did not have a robotics team. How about yours?
We didn't.
Yeah.
Would you have joined if there were one?
See, I don't know, because my initial reaction would be, like, thinking back to myself in high school, I probably would have been a little intimidated. I mean, I wasn't that much of a science dork at the time.
You're more of an English dork, right?
Yeah, and just a dork in general, I guess. But I would have probably thought, hey, I don't really know how robots work, and, you know. And this was, you know, this was olden days when they weren't in our living rooms eating dust. So I would have been a little intimidated, but having gone to the event, I know that it's more of a team type deal. So it's not like, you know, they say, all right, welcome to the team. Go build a robot that can shoot a basketball. No, it's not quite like that. It's hey, we're working together, et cetera.
Right. So about 10% of U.S. high schools now have a FIRST robotics team, but a lot don't. Here's Paul on why more high schools don't have robotics teams.
Well, it's a good question. I mean, after all, they all have a varsity basketball team or varsity football team. You know, I think part of it is just learning that FIRST Robotics is out there. You know, so we are expanding the number of teams. We're calling on schools, encouraging principals and teachers to support a team. We're finding more corporate sponsors, companies like Boeing and BA Systems and Google, who will help fund teams. So I think primarily it's getting the word out so that when we go into a high school, we find that kids sign up when they hear about it because they think it's cool. Or even if they don't know about what it is, they get started and boom, they say, hey, this is a lot of fun.
And then there's also the issue of teacher pay with FIRST.
Right. Are teachers getting paid for their efforts?
Let's hear from Paul on that.
To the teacher, I mean, mm-hmm. I'd like to see the teachers get rewarded for doing this financially, just like the English teacher who runs the drama club or play or the football coach after school. So we encourage that among our school teams.
But it's not as though teachers are the only adults involved. There are thousands of volunteers helping out. And a lot of them have related expertise that they're more than willing to share, right? We talked to one of those volunteers, the kilt guy. Do you remember the kilt guy? I love the kilt guy.
I think it was technically a utility kilt, utilikilt, I think they call him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's
and
pretty cool.
We talked to him about his volunteering with FIRST. And as Robert said, a guy wearing a kilt is bound to give some good quotes.
This is a utilikilt, company based in Seattle, a modern reinterpretation of the kilt, very comfortable. I'm a great supporter of unbifurcated freedom. Quick shout out. I hope they give you a free one. So I got involved in FIRST a couple of years ago. My son goes to high school in Bridgewater, Massachusetts, which have a team called Team 88, TJ Squared, which one of the first, I don't think they were in the first year of FIRST, but I think they joined in like the second year. So they're a very old veteran team. He sort of had some interest in robotics. And dragged me along to one of the meetings. And I'm a research engineer, electronics engineer by training. So I got involved. They needed some help with programming and electronics. So I got involved initially with the team. And I thought I'd give a little bit back by volunteering this year. So we're running the practice field where teams can basically try out things they can't really try on the field or they need to work on the field. So teams are trying out the autonomous mode, which is the first 15 seconds of automatic operation. So that typically they need to do some tuning. They might have several ideas. They want to make sure they get the timing right, etc. And then some other teams are trying out modifications and just trying some, you know, ideas or different drive approaches, which again, they have a bit more time here and people aren't trying to ram into you and everything. So it's an opportunity to practice and to sort of, you know, get a bit more experience before you go out into the scary stuff on the main fields.
I'm a great supporter of unbifurcated freedom. That was my best line from the whole FIRST interview, and it didn't even come, I'm sorry, from you, Paul, but it came from this volunteer guy. It was awesome.
Yeah, he was quite a character and was very enthusiastic about the whole event. So you're probably wondering, how does a high school team make it to the battle pits of FIRST, right? Well, we asked Paul the same thing.
Typically in the fall, high school team will get started. A teacher usually acts as the liaison inside the school. Recruits students, might be 25 students on a team, male, female students, all ages. And then a few mentors from the local area, from engineering professional firms in the area, will then form a team. And on the first Saturday of January, teams gather all across the country in auditoriums. And over the NASA satellite network, we unveil the game. And it's a new game every year. This year it's called Breakaway, which is robots playing soccer. It's like soccer on steroids. And we unveil that game. And it's a new game every year because these are smart kids and mentors. And we give them their kit of parts, 500 motors, gear, software, sensors. The one thing we left out was the instructions. And then they have 6 weeks to design, build, test the robot. They have to crate it up. And then FedEx ships 600 tons of robots to 44 tournaments around the world. So they're in it. These are regional events in Atlanta, New York, Houston, Los Angeles, Denver, Seattle, Tel Aviv, Toronto. And teams participate there, 50 teams at an event. And the winning teams make it here to the Georgia Dome. So this is the Super Bowl of smarts.
So are any of you high schoolers interested in getting involved? Here's Paul on how you can. And in case you're a little nervous about signing up, it's a team thing, like we said before. So no one's going to expect you to build this robot all by yourself.
I would say just do it. There's no prerequisites. Just join a team. I met a couple high school girls who were on a team in New Orleans. I asked them, I said, how'd you get involved? I said, well, our boyfriend signed up for this team. We decided to tag along, and someone stuck a power drill in my hand, and I'm hooked. And she says, I've been doing this now, and I'm going to head to college next year to study mechanical engineering.
So, again, my high school experience, going to high school in Tennessee, it was mostly athletics. I remember it was like football, and a little baseball or softball, whatever they play. A little basketball, but mostly it was football. So it was athletics. You know, you had a few little clubs on the side. And that's actually a huge deal. The whole, you know, divide between, you know, what are you going to push the kids to do? What are you going to, you know, inspire them with? The idea of, you know, athletic superstar or, you know, a scientist. So we asked Paul about this.
Well, I'm pleased to see that, more high schools are now awarding a varsity letter in robotics. And some teams get sent, on their way to the championship with a pep rally. The day before, which is the right type of value system here. You get what you celebrate. This is what we're celebrating. But I met a young woman who said she was dropping out of high school as a sophomore, and then her guidance counselor stopped her and said, you ought to join this robotics team. And she said, her mother said, you have to do this. She said, Mom, it'll be social suicide for me to join this robotics team. Then her mother, to her credit, said, well, then you can't be a cheerleader anymore. She got on the team, thrived on it, and I saw her. She now is a mentor of a team because she went on to get a degree in mechanical engineering. She's got a great job as a design engineer, and she says, I'm now giving back, and I think it's the coolest thing I ever did, and it really changed the course of my life.
Yeah, speaking of cheerleaders and females, and yeah, of course, we know that there are male cheerleaders too. Did you have many male cheerleaders at your school?
I don't remember.
I don't think we did. Cheerleading was not a big thing in the Northeast where I grew up.
Yeah, too cold?
I guess so. Soccer. A lot of people played soccer. A lot of people were persistent about chasing that ball around. So we were wondering what FIRST was doing to attract female students to robotics. And it's a lot, as it turns out.
At the high school level, about 25% of our teams are made of females, which is higher than the science and engineering population in general. So I know we're attracting more girls to the competitions. What we're reaching out with them in a couple ways. We've made them an alliance with the Girl Scouts, and there's a Girl Scouts patch that you can earn by being on a robotics team. We just formed an alliance with the Society of Women Engineers to have these female professionals serve as mentors for these teams. And we're also awarding new areas we're entering, like the green field. And so we are creating green recycling projects, green energy audits as a way to attract more females to do things that they see socially relevant beyond building a robot. And it's working.
Obviously, robots continue to just get more and more advanced leading up to the day when they inevitably become self-conscious and take over. We didn't ask Paul about that, though some friends of mine were really saying, hey, ask him what are the chances of robots becoming self-aware at this year's FIRST and taking over humanity.
Yeah, we should ask him about the singularity, totally.
Yeah, and I figure it's probably like a 50-50 shot each FIRST, you know, get all those robots together in one room. They're going to talk. They're going to organize.
Yeah, what goes on after the lights go down in the Georgia Dome?
I don't know. Maybe next year we'll find out. But we asked Paul about some of the technologies that the bots are showcasing and how that's changed FIRST over the years.
Yeah, and what kind of technologies they're going to adopt for future competitions.
Well, we're getting more and more sophisticated. Like this year, there's a very sophisticated video camera, and Intel helped donate classmate PCs for the driver station. We're using Wi-Fi as a means of communicating between the robots. And so you're going to see some awesome play out there with robots on their own, finding the targets, shooting the balls. In the future, you'll see things like optical character recognition and even online simulations of what we're doing.
So my favorite robot is Maximilian from The Black Hole.
Okay.
Fictional. So I had to ask Paul what his favorite robot is, and he let us know.
Well, I saw a robot built by one of the FIRST Robotics team members with the Lego Mindstorms robot. You put a scrambled Rubik's Cube in its arms. The video camera scans it in 9 seconds, transmits the data into a laptop where he's programmed an algorithm that solves it in 4 seconds, and then instructs the arms to unscramble it and solve the entire Rubik's Cube problem in 53 seconds. And this young man is 13 years old. Wow. That is a cool robot and a pretty cool kid.
That's a good answer. I totally saw that video on YouTube with the Rubik's Cube robot. Did you?
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. I mean, it's no, you know, killer red robot eviscerating Anthony Perkins, but it's pretty good.
So that wraps it up for our first Stuff from the Science Lab road trip. We hope you guys enjoyed it.
And as always, you can type robots or robot into the search bar on How Stuff Works homepage and see what good stuff that brings up. We've got things about robot armies, robots getting married, robots becoming self-aware and taking over the world.
Yeah, over on Discovery News, you wrote about robots being alive.
Yes.
I like that article. I thought that was a good one. And of course, we're getting more technologically advanced too, and we are on Twitter now.
Yep.
So follow us on Twitter with Lab Stuff.
And
handle.
Look us up on Facebook as well. We're on there, Stuff from the Science Lab. Just put that into the bar and search for it. And you can always shoot us an email at sciencestuff@howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think of the podcast, if you have any suggestions for future episodes, and let us know about your relationship with robots. If you are, especially if you're a member of a robotics team or a volunteer with one, you know, let us know about your experiences. We'd love to hear from you.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Want more HowStuffWorks? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.